The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So let's see. Let's just begin and see what happens. I think other people will probably join. One more thing. So, so let's just relax and disentangle our knots. Relax. Sometimes it helps to notice how the breath is relaxing us for us. The breath on the exhale, we just naturally let go on the exhale. So we've been talking a lot, and we do talk a lot in Buddhism about the causes for suffering. And there are three causes, but we normally focus on two, on craving or clinging or grasping and all of its subcategories, and aversion, resistance, anger, jealousy, fear, and all the subcategories cause suffering. But the real big baby, the real cause for suffering, the real cause for craving and aversion is ignorance. And ignorance is at the bottom of all these lists. There's this 12-fold chain of causation for how suffering occurs, and sufferings, and the first one is ignorance. And all the Buddhist teachings, all the Buddhist practices, and all the traditions are trying to show us, reveal to us what we're ignorant about, who we are. So we think, we identify with all these deficient selves. We've been told all of our lives, and it's in our genetics and in our familial and cultural and social. Teachings, experiences, that were not enough, that were deficient. So think of the roles you have now, or the identities that you have now, and then how you think you suffer. Oh, I'm not good enough at that. I'm not good enough at that. We've been taught from a very early age that we have to be better. If you're a boy, you have to be a better athlete. We have to be more popular. We have to be more well-liked. We have to be more better looking. We have to have more, achieve more, be smarter, get A's, or whatever's admired. If you're a tennis player, you've got to be a better tennis player. That's what all tennis players are about, being a better tennis player. And we do it to ourselves with meditation. I'm not a good enough meditator. I'm the worst meditator in this room. So the Buddhist tradition is pointing us inward. Other spiritual traditions point outward, that there's a perfect divinity that's blessing us and helping us. But in Buddhism, we're insiders. We go inside to find perfection. And that's kind of a loaded word, perfection, which it's loaded if you think it means a perfect identity or a perfect self, but you are all here now, perfectly, perfectly conscious. You don't have to do a thing to be conscious. It was here. I remember when my daughter was born, she was conscious. And I remember when my daughter was born and I held her, I was full of love. I was full of, love. And we all have that too. We have love. We don't have to do anything except recognize. And we're all equal in this. Nobody has more awareness than somebody else, or nobody has more love than anybody else, or more kindness than anybody else. You can feel it. You can feel the warmth, maybe in this room, this Zoom room, this field of kindness that feels so good to be here. You allow yourself to feel good to be here. You're in a place where no one's judging you. We're all rooting for you. We all want you to be happy. We all don't want you to suffer. We all have this kindness and this love here for ourselves and for each other, this open field, accessing this in ourselves. And seeing this is wisdom. So, that's the view. You are not your identity of not enough, of deficient, of angry, of jealous, or that you need this to be complete. (Clears throat) So if we just relax and open, and this is our practice, this is our meditative practice, just relaxing and opening to who we are. And then, of course, we get lots of thoughts come, you know, and kind of obscure that. And we go to battle to get rid of our thoughts. We go to battle with ourselves. We have aversion to our thoughts. We have greed for a silent. And we just let go of all that. And relax and be. In openness, like space. The openness of space is what awareness is. It's open, it accommodates. It accommodates everything. It accommodates sights, sounds, feelings, thoughts. Be the space. It's very simple. It's so obvious. It's so easy. It's right so close. It's right here with us. This we're not a rock. We're not a piece of wood. We're awake. Buddha means, the word Buddha means to be awake. And that's our practice. Our practice is to recognize it without fighting with ourselves. If there are thoughts, we let the thoughts be and just aware of them. If there's jealousy, if there's sadness, if there's fear, let it be. It's fine. Be aware of it. We are the ocean. Be the ocean. And allow the waves. So simple, but it's not easy. We spend much of our life just simply trying to relax and let go. And when we let go, there's not nothing there. We let go into the ocean, into the great being, ocean of awareness. Of the love that's always here. Love for your dog, love for your grandchildren. Some of you hike, love for the trees, love for the sky. I'll blab on just for a few more minutes. So there are two ways to approach this. And the way we do as Westerners is we go straight to recognition. We go straight to wisdom. That's what I'm talking about today. But in the East, they go to merit. They can't wait to line up at 5 in the morning in the streets to give a banana, plantain, or something to the monks who are walking down the street with their begging bowls in a village where there's a monastery. So generosity is a big practice in the East. Devotion is a big practice in the East. I was in Burma, and you would see these carts full of families, spilling over with families, in these little carts pulled by ponies, going to a stupa, to a religious site, and a holy site. And there's one I went to, it's called Golden Rock. It's this gigantic rock that looks gold, like it's gold, and it comes to a point, and it miraculously sits on a point. And for them, this is a holy site, and they go there, you know. Families. That's how they don't go to Hawaii on vacations. They go to stupas. That's what they do when they have time off. So I was at Golden Rock, and it at 5 a.m. I heard all these wagons, you know, coming in the street and people shouting and singing. I looked out my window, this caravan coming in. And then I went up to the site, and there was this gigantic park-like space where all these people were camping, eating, laughing with their families. And we have our own form. And when you do that, when you're devotional or when you're generous, it puts you in touch with these qualities of love and compassion, and where it kind of opens your heart and puts you more in touch with them. So we do that here. I'll bet a lot of you have done service. And when you do service, you don't know it, but you're getting in touch with your open goodness, your innate goodness. I did hospice work, and it was commonly known, hospice chaplains, that we benefit more than they do. And we're generous, and we're loving, and we take care of our grandchildren, and all kinds of things that put us just naturally in touch with our innate goodness. So I just wanted to mention that. So let's meditate for a few minutes, and then you can go into small groups and discuss these things. So we begin by just relaxing into our body. Disentangling the knots and opening to the experience of the body breathing. And feel your feelings. Maybe feel some openness. Noticing you've come here today, and you're practicing, you know, meditating, not just now, but on your own for years and years, to find more ease in your life, to find peace and contentment, well-being in your life. Feeling that as love. Letting yourself relax into that loving wish for coming from your innate goodness and experiencing your innate well-being. And extending that wish open heart, may all beings have this peace. May my practice be of benefit not only to me, but ripple out. We're all connected. We're all connected to all beings everywhere. And of course, we're connected to our families, our friends. May all beings everywhere and feeling your own goodness, your own love, your kindness, and that we're all equal. In this, and just be. Give up all doing. And just be yourself without any doing. And you are awake, you're not your credentials. You're not the number of likes you got on Facebook. You're not the praise, the recognition from others. You're not what you wear, what you look like, what you own, what you've accomplished. Your true value is in this beingness of you. Always has been. Always will be. So we can just relax and be ourselves, come home to ourselves. This is home. Brimming over with more than enough. Brimming over with kindness. Brimming over and outward with ease and well-being. And our minds go off and we think and we think and we think and we think we're failing. We're not enough. But just let that be. You're the same as everybody else. Or we have some anxiety, anger, irritation. Just let that be. All these things are part of being a human being, playing out on the surface. Our conditioning. Love melts the barriers. They all dissolve. The hijacking always dissolves into space. So we can be with whatever is happening. We don't go to battle with ourselves. We don't try very hard, just a light touch of awareness, grounded perhaps in the breathing, if that helps you. Aware of the body sensations, the breath. Aware of feelings, particularly in the heart area. Aware of thoughts. Aware of sounds. Thank you. aware of the sound of my voice and any other sounds that are in your vicinity. This awareness is amazing. We are amazing. This kindness is amazing. It spreads out over the entire earth and beyond. Like a flower scent. This wisdom is amazing that we know. We know who we are. This boundless, limitless spacious awareness. That is filled with kindness. And so again, just stop doing anything. And relax. Just be yourself, your home, now. And we can continue with this because it's so simple and so easy and so direct. We can just continue with this when we open our eyes. And rejoin the field of kindness, of goodness, of awareness that's here. Welcome back. So, we'll break into small groups now. And you can, if you'd like, discuss how that was for you, what your experience was.
Hi. David, it's nice to see you. You said cat. That's me.
Oh.
Kathy Sears in D.C., but...
Oh, hi, Kathy. Nice to see you, Kathy.
That was wonderful for me.
Good.
I'm...
So we're going to break up into small groups, Kathy, and talk about that with each other. And also, I had some prompts in my letter to you that you could discuss if you want. There were these contemplations above the letter, and maybe some of those landed on you. There's this one from Gil. A remarkable reference point. If you are relaxed, if you are at ease and just here, you cannot not be aware. You can't not be aware. I think that's a very pithy and wonderful. And then what kind of awareness is it that cannot be turned off? It is undefined. A self that is undefined. And then there's this quote from Mingyur Rinpoche, there's nothing to meditate on. It's very easy, actually. You do nothing, and you're perfectly fine. Which is kind of what we did. You do nothing, and you're perfectly okay. And there's some other quotes. And if you're anything like me, you have roles that you play in life and identities where you fall short, that you're not enough. So you might want to discuss those if you'd like, how you fall short. How you fall short as a meditator. What's that all about? And then there's this great question that Ramana Maharshi, the great Advaita Vedanta teacher, his all of his millions of practitioners, they ask this, they just simply ask the question, who am I? So who are you when you let go of all your self-judgments? And your judgments of others. Who are you when you let go of all judgments? Who are you when you relax and access the fundamental awareness that's always here? And which one is more true? The one with the deficiencies, or the awareness, the kindness? Which one is really more trustworthy? Which one brings you peace, ease, well-being? And what practices have you learned to help you shift out of mistaken identities? Over the years, that's what we do. We try to let them go. What practices have you learned that help you? And lastly, I don't expect you to remember these, but you know, maybe some one or two you'll remember. Lastly, what does it mean to you to take refuge in the Buddha? So I will break you up into breakout rooms now. Go find them. Yeah, here we go, And we'll spend about 25 minutes. And you can also just talk about anything you'd like to talk about. Talk about your practice, talk about, you know, this is for you now. Just anything you'd like to bring to your small group for discussion. And just one thing to remember, please, try to respect the conversational space, that everybody gets an equal chance to share the conversational space. Okay, so have a great discussion with each other. And here you go. Elizabeth, do you see something you can press that will help you join? Good. Kathy, would you like to join a room? I don't see you now. Oh, Michael, can you turn off the recording? Somehow my screen doesn't show it. There it is. I'll pause it. Blink, 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 all the little Christmas lights. Hey. So welcome back. Did you have nice discussions? Yeah? And anybody want to say you didn't? You want to give a big thumbs down? My discussion was lousy. Freda had a lousy discussion group. I'm kidding. So share with us. Tell us what happened. How was it? What did you talk about? Share us your just unmute and tell us, share with us. Yeah, please, just do it.
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, is it me?
It is
yes. You.
Okay. I'm sorry. My whole network was going in and out through most of our little meeting, but it seems that the four of us, three ladies and one gentleman, were very alike in where they were in their studies of Buddhism as well as in their aging. And so there were a lot of smiles and a lot of, yeah, me too. And I enjoyed that a great deal.
Yeah, we had a similar thing. We ended with having a sense of, as a child, how we were given messages that we weren't okay, that there was something wrong with us, or, you know, we missed the mark somehow, and that we're working on recovering from it. But it was the most engaging and illuminating four-person discussion I think I've ever had. So it was, I couldn't even begin to tell you all things if one of the others wants to try. You know, it was just incredible. Loved it.
Deborah?
Hey. All right. We had a lovely discussion. We talked about self and how to be aware of when we're selfing, so to speak. And we all kind of had different ways to describe it. But it really came back down to just being aware of where our mind is going with that. And then we talked about our own practices regarding that, but also our practices involving taking refuge. And that was really interesting because we all felt that it was a gift just to know that we could take refuge, and just thinking about taking refuge was part of the refuge. And then also, very importantly, one of our members said really taking a refuge with the Buddha is doing the practices that the Buddha has given us and the teachings. And so it all kind of came together really nicely. And it was a really nice, full and thoughtful conversation. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Someone else. Please, just come right on, Chris. Yeah.
I was really happy with Gloria, who asked us to tell how the practice of meditation has impacted our daily life. That was, I thought that was a very, very inspiring question.
How did it impact yours? How has it impacted?
Sorry?
How has it impacted you?
You want me to tell that now? To repeat it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's not why I said it. It was just...
I know.
Okay. I think maybe it's good to repeat the last thing I talked about. It's sorry, I get confused. I'm sorry. I wasn't prepared to repeat it. I was in the Path of Fearlessness course, and what impacted me the most was being able to. There was this this part that was about unsticking from your stories, and that had a very great impact on me because I was able to kind of break down the stories I had been telling about myself, about my mom, and to break it down to the bare essentials, like this is what happened, and not create stories about it, like why it happened or what it meant, or what it said about me or anything. Yeah.
Great. Sounds very freeing.
Yeah.
Anyone else? Yeah, please.
I'm thankful to the group member who brought up the, brought up the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha as the refuges. I've lost my camera somehow, but... and since the words of the Buddha are in the Dharma, when we take refuge in the Buddha, I'm curious if that is supposed to mean that we take refuge in the Buddha within us.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely, the Buddha, that's what the meditation was all about. These amazing qualities that are within us. Is the Buddha within? Awareness, compassion, love. These amazing qualities that we are not recognizing. Recognizing is taking refuge in the Buddha within. And then also, it's a devotional practice, the Buddha without. The Buddha throughout, bowing to the Buddha, puts us in touch with those inner qualities. So that's what they do in Eastern countries. They do a lot of devotional practices. And some of us do a lot of devotional practices. Someone else? Yeah, please. Yeah, I see you. Essie?
Hi.
Hi.
Can you hear me? Yeah. We had a very nice group. One of the people was brand new to this whole Sangha today, was first time here, so that was nice. It was nice to meet him. And I guess what I wanted to share was this little phrase by Kabir, K-A-B-I-R, just came to mind. It's all know that the drop merges into the ocean, but few know that the ocean merges into the drop. And that has just meant so much to me lately. I mean, it's a reminder, you know, that we have, to me, it's a reminder that we have what we need. We have what we need, whether we're in the form of the drop or the form of the ocean. So
that's beautiful. And when we're the drop, you know, when we're like, you know, this drop of anger, you know, it's really helpful to remember the ocean. It's just a wave. It's a drop. It's a wave in the ocean. And we can relax into the ocean and hold these things that get us so upset.